12. Verse, I think it's verse 30, 39 or 40, one of those where we left off. And we'll go ahead and pray, and then we'll get into the message or lesson. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your words and for giving us a copy of them. And Lord, we take for granted what you've given us and what we have in our hands and what we can take to the lost, Lord. We just take for granted. And we pray, Lord, that you'd be with us this morning, that we wouldn't take your word for granted, and that we would do those things that are necessary, those things that are that you want us to do. And we pray, Lord, that we'd walk closer with you and live by the faith of the Word of God, Lord. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. All right, we'll start off in verse 38. We'll just read, and then I think we left off in verse 40. The Bible says, Matthew chapter 12, 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given it to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And so we went through a little bit last week how Jesus had done more miracles. We know Jesus did more signs throughout the book, but the sign that they were going to have to believe is going to be when Jesus Christ dies on the cross and he's buried and he raises again the third day. And that's going to prove that he is the Messiah. And we looked in Romans 1 and saw that that was the power. That's where we'll go there real quick. Romans 1. That was the power. And he was declared, verse 4, and he was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. And so that resurrection will declare him as the Messiah there. And that's the sign that they're going to have to believe. Verse 40. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. So just as the whale's belly was hell to Jonah, so the heart of the earth was hell to Jesus Christ. And go with me, if you would, to Acts 2:31. He went to hell, Jesus Christ. Acts 2:31. The Bible says, He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. All right? So, just as the whale's belly was a tomb for Jonas, for his body, so the earth was the tomb to Jesus Christ. Right? He was in a tomb. He was in the earth. And so just as Jonas, if you read the story of Jonah, just as he offered himself a ransom for those on the ship when the storm arose, so Jesus Christ offered up himself as a ransom for the world. You see the similarities there? And so Jesus Christ, he knows when to pick out a person in history and show them to the people that he's talking to and as an example. And so just as Jonah was released from his prison and came to the land of the living again, he came from the congregation of the dead. That's in, what is it? Yeah, okay. He came up from the dead to give a message to Nineveh so they could be saved. So Christ rose again the third day so that we could receive the gospel message, and be saved. You see how that works? And that's same with Israel. That's the sign they were going to get. And so Christ's resurrection, it will be the sign of Jonas to the Jews. Verse 41, the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. This generation, folks, is so evil and adulterous and wicked that the resurrection of Jesus Christ won't have the effect on the nation of Israel as the resurrection of Jonas had on the Ninevites. That's how wicked they are. And so Jesus is right when he says this is an evil and adulterous generation. The Ninevites repented at the preaching of Jonah, and they were spared from ruin. And they were spared from destruction. But the Jews, they're so hard in unbelief that they're not gonna repent. And they're gonna be ruined and destroyed. That's what's gonna happen. And in the day of judgment and condemnation, those that Christ preached to here, and those that to whom Christ is preached to, right? Just not in that day, but in any day, they're going to be condemned by those of the people of Nineveh. Jonah was just a man. He was a man, a sinful man. He was a prophet, but he was still a sinful man. And he had the same sinful lust of the flesh that we have. Right? Jesus Christ, he was God. He was God, man. He didn't have sin lust, folks. He didn't have sin lust. Right? He was tempted as we are tempted, but he didn't have that lust in his flesh to sin against God. He never even thought about sinning against God. But Jonas, he did. He was just a man. And Jonah, he was a stranger in Nineveh, right? He was a stranger, and he was prejudiced against those people. Why? Because they were Gentiles. And he didn't want to go to them. The Jews didn't think highly of the Gentiles. But Jesus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, he came unto his own. He wasn't a stranger in their land. He was one of them. And he came unto his own. And his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Jonah, he preached one short message. Just one. Among the streets of Nineveh. That was it. One, that was it. And I bet you he hightailed it out of there after that one message. He fulfilled God's plan and he was gone. I don't think he stayed in there for 40 days. But he said in 40 days that God was going to destroy this the city. But he preached one short message. And he talked about wrath. And he talked about the ruin that God was going to do to that place. And he gave no instructions on how to get right. He gave no instructions to discourage them from doing the things that they were doing. And he gave no encouragement, no direction. He just preached a message. God's going to destroy you in 40 days. Right? Look how long Jesus has been calling men and women to repent. He sat with them. He taught with them. He encouraged those to trust in him and to receive the message. Right? He was giving them warning. He showed them about the dangers of not receiving him. And he even assured them, and he assures us of acceptance upon our repentance. Right? He's given us all the warnings, but Jonah didn't give anything. He just said, God's going to destroy you in 40 days. And that was it. Jonah performed no good miracle, folks, with which to confirm the message that he preached. Right? Yet, the nation of Nineveh, they received the message and repented. Jesus brought an abundance of signs and wonders to confirm the message, to confirm who he was, he did so many things, folks. Look at John 21. He did so many things. John 21:25. The Bible says, there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Yet the nation as a whole, they rejected the message. Jonah, he's the perfect picture here, folks. Not only does he picture the Messiah, but he pictures the nation of Israel who rejects and then gets right. Right? The second time Jesus had to tell him after he was in the whale's belly, he sends him forth to Nineveh again. What does Jonah do? He goes to Nineveh. And so Jonah 3:1. Let's go there real quick and read that one. Jonah 3:1. The Bible says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Right? So, Israel's going to get right the second time. The second time, Israel will receive the word of the Lord. And they have to go through a great thing, a great tribulation to before they do that. But God, in His foreknowledge, folks, He picks out certain men and certain women to do certain things, and He knows Israel wasn't gonna they weren't gonna receive Him or His words the first time, and so He picks out a stubborn man, a stubborn prophet, one who's gonna reject Jesus Christ, reject His words the first time. God could have found hundreds of prophets, right? We know that there were thousands of them. Look at Elijah. He was saying, woe unto me, woe unto me. And God said He had in reserve, I forget how many thousands, but 5,000 or something. But God could have found hundreds of prophets that would have obeyed Him the first time and went to Nineveh. But God picked Jonah. He picked Jonah. He picked a prophet that would reject Him the first time and would have to go through a death, burial, and resurrection. And just as Christ has to go through a death, burial, and resurrection, right? Just as the nation of Israel will have to go through a death, a burial, and a resurrection. Hey, the Bible says that the nation of Israel is going to be resurrected, and so all Israel shall be saved. And so they're going to be killed as a nation, and they're going to be resurrected as a nation. And just as God wanted Israel to go to the Gentile and bring God's words to them, which they should have done the first time, right? They're going to do it the second time, just as Jonah did. And so they're going to go to the Gentile nation. They're going to be head of the nations. They're going to go and bring the Lord to them. And so Jonah is a perfect picture, not only of the Messiah, but of the nation that has rejected the words of God. But folks, here it is. Here's the nation of Nineveh. It says right here, the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Jesus Christ is greater than Jonas. And so what's going to happen to the nation of Israel? Just as the belly of the whale was hell to Jonah, Christ went to a literal hell. Right? So Israel will go through hell on earth, and that'll be Israel's hell. What does the Bible say? These creatures are going to come out of the depths of the pit. The Antichrist is going to be here. The devil's going to be here. It's going to be hot. And there's not going to be any excuse for rejecting Jesus Christ, folks, considering what others have done in the past with so much less. And that's the teaching here. These folks didn't have all that Israel had. All they had was one guy got raised from the dead, didn't do any miracles of his own, preached one little message, and they were scared to death, and they repented, the whole nation. I think even the animals did, didn't they? The animals even repented, put on sackcloth and ashes. And so there's not going to be any excuse. So at the great white throne judgment, those that had more advantage to receive the goodness of God will be condemned by those who received his goodness with less advantages. Matthew 12:42. The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Now the Ninevites, they're gonna rise up with this wicked generation, and they're gonna condemn those that didn't repent. The Queen of Sheba, she's gonna rise up with this generation, and she's gonna condemn them for not believing. Right? Hey, she heard about the words and she believed them and she wanted to see. She came from the uttermost parts of the earth to find out the wisdom of Solomon. She came from a far country to hear his words, to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Yet the people will not be persuaded in this world to drive 1 mile, right? To go to hear Christ's words preached at a church. And Christ is greater than Solomon, right? But yet we can't persuade people to drive even a mile, not even a quarter of a mile. We can't. Some of them are right down the block, they won't come. And so Christ's wisdom is way more than Solomon's, yet nobody comes to hear. Nobody comes to hear his words. The Queen of Sheba, she had no invitation to come to Solomon. But Israel was invited to the kingdom. Right? That's found in chapter 11:28. A couple pages over. 11:28. The Bible says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I will give you rest. And yet, they didn't come. We, the world, is invited to Christ. Yet a vast majority of people don't want anything to do with them, and they're not going to come. Revelation 22:7. Revelation 22:7. The Bible says, the 17. "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." It's a free gift. Right? Yet, nobody wants it. Hey, if you never accept the gift, it doesn't matter how many people hold it out to you, it's never yours. It's never yours until you receive it. And you don't have any faith. Christ's faith. And until you receive it, it's not considered your faith, right? You have no faith. You have to trust in the words of God. Then you get His faith. And that's the saving faith, right? So Solomon, he was but a wise man, but Christ is wisdom itself, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom. That's found in Colossians 2:3. Colossians 2:3. Colossians 2:3. We'll start off in verse 2. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, you have to think about this, folks, because if you were a queen, or if you were a woman in a far, far country, and you were going to make a trip, and you're going to go for hundreds and hundreds of miles, right? What was going to be left of your kingdom when you left, if you're the queen? What would become of it? And you got to think, she's a woman. How is she going to be able to make a journey that far? You see, some of the things going through this woman's mind, you can kind of imagine what's going through her mind, not being able to be able to have the comforts of home like she normally had. Women are naturally just weak, and they can't make long trips like that. And I'm not going to say, I'm not being prejudiced here, but it's true. I mean, if you're going to walk, I mean, anybody could drive, and I'm talking walking through mountains and deserts where there's not water for miles. Hundreds of miles sometimes. Look at all the difficult conditions she would have to go through to get to Solomon, and look at how easy we have it. Right? We don't have those worries. We don't have any of those such cares. But she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear Solomon, but Christ, He came to us from heaven. Right? He came, and He's nigh us. He's here. His Word is nigh us. He's right there. He's left His words there for us so we could get a hold of Him. We know how to come to Him. But she was still a queen. She still had servants with her. I'm sure she didn't make this travel alone. She had probably a caravan of people. And she was still a queen. When Christ came, He gave up everything. And came to us. And so she came to hear philosophy and politics, but the wisdom of Christ, it offers something so much greater. It offers salvation. 2 Timothy 3:15. She could only hear His wisdom. We can not only hear Christ's wisdom, but we can receive it. And when we receive His word, we receive Him. He receives us. And as before, we talked about the Ninevites. There's not going to be any excuses, folks. You won't have the excuse that there were no churches in my neighborhood, that and I had a bunch of problems and I couldn't go far away to another one, because this woman came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Most people won't get off the couch and go to the bookstore and get a $1 Bible. They could get the words of Jesus Christ right there. And so there won't be any excuses, because the moment somebody brings that up, God's going to bring a cripple up who wheeled himself a mile, 2 miles down the road, he couldn't drive, and went to church and got the wisdom of God. And so for every excuse for not doing something in the Bible, there is a Bible answer, folks, that will destroy that excuse. And so if a person doesn't want to hear the wisdom of Christ and receive his message to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, then the Queen of Sheba will rise up in judgment with them, and they'll condemn them, right? For Jesus Christ is greater than Solomon, and you should have been searching, because she was searching, and she found his wisdom. Christ left his wisdom here in every bookstore in the probably in the world. Well, maybe there's some countries that don't have them. But they can travel far to get it. They can get it. Chapter 12, verse 43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he. Notice, he doesn't go right in. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be as unto this wicked generation. Now, that last verse teaches you a couple things. It teaches you that these verses can be applied to man, and these verses can be applied to nations. All right? When does an unclean spirit go out of a man? What were his disciples doing? What was Jesus Christ doing? They were casting out devils. How was Jesus Christ casting them out? He was casting them out by the power of God. Chapter 12, verse 28. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. And so, how was that? How was he casting them out? According to verse 28, the kingdom of God has come unto them. Right? And we know by what's said in Luke 17, 21, that the kingdom of God is within you. All right? According to verse 28, the kingdom of God has come unto them, right? The kingdom of God is within you. And so Jesus shows how the strong man is the unclean spirit in verse 29. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his good except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil the house? And so what's going on here? Jesus is casting out a devil. And so he's showing you there's more going on than Jesus just saying, come out of him. There's more going on than that there. Right? And so what's happening is here, and because you can keep going down, and he says, whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, where did that person enter in at? Right? Okay, so what Jesus is showing here is that we can't see everything that's happening when a devil gets cast out of somebody. We don't see what's happening there. But what's happening is the Holy Ghost goes into the man and can go into the man against his will based on a servant of God. Jesus Christ is a servant. He was God's servant. And if you're a servant of God, and you have that ability to cast out a devil. Why would you do that? And unless it was in order to get the man the gospel, get the man the truth, right? Otherwise, why would you waste your time? Okay, so he binds the Holy Ghost binds the strong man, takes over the house, he spoils his goods. The unclean spirit is cast out of the man, and now that man has no influence by an unclean spirit. Now that person has clear thoughts to receive the message, to receive Jesus Christ. What has Jesus been doing? He's been casting out devils out of the nations, right? Why? So they can receive him. When you've got a devil in you, an unclean spirit in you, you have an influence that may prevent you from making a decision. And so, you have that power. If you're going to give the gospel to somebody and you suspect that there's something going on there, there's nothing wrong with asking the Lord to drive that devil away or unclean spirit away. There's nothing wrong with that. But give them the message. Don't leave them on the streets. And that's what these people are doing. They're casting out devils out of people, and they're not giving them the gospel. Right? They're not giving them a chance. Give the guy a chance to make a decision. And so, look what happens. Guy has a chance to make a decision, but the Bible says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of the man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Now you've got this unclean spirit, he's gone out of this person. All right, Jesus cast him out, the disciples cast him out, or a Christian will cast him out, or anybody cast the devil out. There's unsaved people casting devils out every day. But what does he do? He goes out, he's in dry places, he's seeking rest, and he's finding none. Now you got a crabby devil out there, right? You got somebody that's crabby, that's been out of his home. And he's been spoiled, and he's mad. And he's seeking, he's looking for rest, he doesn't find any. Then he said, I will return unto my house from whence I came out, and when he has come, he findeth it empty. Why? Because the Holy Ghost had no liberty to stay in that man's house. He got the message. Who knows how long this is, folks? We don't know how long you could be empty or how long that devil was cast out of him. We don't know. But he has no liberty to stay in that house, and that house becomes empty. Why? Because the Holy Ghost first cast the unclean spirit out, but then had no liberty to stay. And that's where that servant of the Lord comes in. Hey, you can go in, you can intercede for a man that's got spiritual problems. And get rid of those spiritual problems. Give him the message. If he doesn't receive the message, folks, the devil's going to come back to him. And he's going to find that house empty, right? He had to come in the first time to spoil his goods. Now, when this man rejects, the house becomes empty. We don't know for how long. We don't know for how long. But we do know this, that when the devil comes back, he finds it empty. So there's been some space for this guy to receive Jesus Christ, and he didn't. The Holy Ghost had to leave. Right? That's not a guy being saved, folks. It's a guy, the Holy Ghost doing work in a man's body. That's all it is. It's not the guy saved. All right? He's got to receive Christ to be saved, to get the permanent dwelling of the Holy Ghost. All right? We know that this devil comes back, he finds it empty. We know that he finds it swept, okay? It's cleaned up. There's not a bunch of garbage laying around in a man's life anymore. So it had to be a period of time where this man was able to clean his life up a little bit. But he did it on his own. He did it on his own. And garnished. There's some nice little things hanging on the wall. Right? There's some nice little wreath hanging on the door. And so he's probably got some religious, got some religion somewhere. But he didn't get Jesus Christ. He didn't get the Holy Ghost. He didn't receive the message. And so, up shows the unclean spirit. He says, I'm going to go back. Maybe there's a chance that this guy, he's ready to receive me again. And he goes and knocks on the door, and he finds it. Actually, he goes and knocks on the door, and the door opens up. Nobody there to answer. And he goes in and he says, woo, look at this. And now he's a little bit mad, and he goes out and he gets his buddies and he brings them back. The guy had opportunity to the truth. He rejected. And folks, you're better off never had known. You're better off, if you're not going to give a guy the gospel, leave the devil in him.
He's better off. If you give him the gospel, then hey, whatever he does with that and makes his own decision, hey, he deserves whatever he's going to get. But if you're not going to give him and follow through and give him the message, leave the devil in him. Because he's better off. Because the Bible says that he's going to bring seven more of his buddies back, more wicked than himself. Folks, Jesus is casting out the devils out of all these people in the nation of Israel. And you see it all through the scriptures, all through the gospels. Casting them out, casting them out, casting them out. And you know what the people did? Even though their leaders were wicked, the people had a chance. They could have said, give us Jesus. But they said, give us Barabbas. Or is that who he said? Barabbas or Barnabas? Barnabas. Was it Barabbas? Okay, yeah, Barabbas. Sometimes I get messed up there. Give us Barabbas. And so the unclean spirit that was in that nation has come back. And they are going to be worse off in the end because they had the truth there. Jesus casted out the devils so that they could hear the message clearly. They heard the message, but they didn't receive it because when it all came down to the end of the thing, what do they want? They didn't want Jesus. They rejected him. And so the nation of Israel is going to get destroyed. They're going to get destroyed by these devils in the tribulation. They're in them. And then God will raise the Jews that individually trusted him to become the nation once again. Right? And so all Israel shall be saved. All that trusted in Jesus. All right? And we're going to go ahead and stop there. And we'll pray. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you, Lord, for your words. And thank you for showing us the truths therein. And we don't know how to thank you, Lord. And we can thank you by just telling people about you, Lord, and getting people to a place where they can receive the message, receive you, and so they can be saved. And they don't have to worry about any of these devils anymore. They don't have to worry about unclean spirits anymore. Because we know, Lord, that the Holy Ghost is not going to allow any unclean thing in us. And we pray these things, and we pray, Lord, for the message today that you would bless us, Lord, with whatever's preached. And we pray for the nursing home ministries, Lord, that you would just be with those dear folks. For Christ's sake, we pray. Amen.